Blog Talk Radio.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace, family. What up, y'all? This is Collective Minds Radio. We back for another week, hopefully to share some constructive dialogue with the family, you know, provide some solutions. This is Brother Kev, and I got my other host, Rigel Starr, and my brother Mufasa Ra. What's up, y'all?
Hotel.
Word.
Hotel.
Hotel.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Habari Ghani and Habari Ghani.
Yes, sir. Islam. And, yeah, so before we get started again, it is Collective Minds Radio family. Give us a call and, you know, share your thoughts on a topic. Today we are discussing forgiveness. You know, is all forgiven? Should we always forgive? Is there anything that you guys will not forgive? So we just go chop it up about that. But before we get started, do we have any announcements? Right to start, any announcements?
No announcements. No announcements.
Nice. Indeed. Mufasa Ra.
Yes, sir.
For the family.
Yeah, you know I got an announcement. Shout out to, we was just talking about a little while ago, shout out to the brother Sinetta out in New York. He put together a fantastic award show this weekend. It was last night. The brother put it together. It was a beautiful event. A lot of scholars and artists was in the building, conscious community represented, and you know, it was good to see black scholars get acknowledged for their works while they still here on earth. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Sinetta TV, Black News 102, House of Consciousness, for putting together a beautiful event for the people, and I hope he continue to keep it up. It was the first annual, so hopefully he continue and we can support the brother down the road.
Indeed, indeed. Shout out to the brother Sinetta and the House of Consciousness family. Yeah, so that's what's up. Yeah, I saw a few videos of the event. It looked like it was a successful event. Looks like everybody unified under, you know, the Sinetta Awards, and that's what's up. It's good to see that we can come together under different ideologies, different beliefs, you know, different systems, and we can all come together as a people and know, you know, that we are fighting for the same, basically, you know, liberating cause. So that's what's up. Shout out to the House of Consciousness. And so without further ado, again, we are Collective Minds Radio, and we are talking about forgiveness. Okay, this has been a topic. This was actually Rigel Starr's idea. You want to break down forgiveness and bring us on in, Rigel?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. But I know it's something that I wanted to do because we have so many discussions and all different kinds and topics. And forgiveness was one that stuck out to me because I believe forgiveness is very important. I think it's very important to our state of mind, our health, our well-being, things like that, how we operate, how we just function, you know, because I think it plays a part with our emotions and stuff. And if you're a happy person, then you do better. You know, you create better things, you do better things if you're a happy individual. And I just think that forgiveness is very important to our happiness. And I know a lot of people feel like some things that they can't forgive for, which I know some people feel like that because I've had conversations with some people that has expressed that there are some things that they just cannot forgive for. And I must admit, I'm surprised to hear that because I always took forgiveness as an important step to being a better person. So when I learned that other people have different views, it was just intriguing to me, and it just made me want to know a little bit more and why I just have a better understanding about that view. Because I know it's some crazy things that can go on around us or that can be done to us, and it can be hard to forgive. And I remember Brother Kevin, and I also think you too, Mufasa, kind of touched base on some forgiveness when it comes to the Black culture and the Black community, how when the police officers will wrongfully kill a Black innocent person, and most of the time the family come out saying, "Hey, I forgive. And I think that's actually kind of what one of the things, along with something else I can remember, that kind of struck this topic idea up, because I know you guys had a lot to express about that, always got to forgive, and so it was just always, it's intriguing to hear when I hear someone that can say that, no, I don't want to, I couldn't forgive for that. And I just want to know if you think that there is something that shouldn't be forgiven or don't think it's important to forgive, I would like to just want somebody to kind of break it down, just so that way we can just kind of understand and be clear on how you think, But
right.
That was really good what kind of made me think, hey, I would like to talk more about this. Just intriguing with other people's way of thinking and they their views about it. One last thing. For me, forgiveness is forgetting, almost, in a sense. And we know a lot of people always say, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Well, I think I'm not, I don't know how to put this, because a great deal of me feel like you will have to forget something about it, because how else would you be able to move on if you don't forget something about it? I'm not saying that you have to forget everything about the event or the incident or the situation that happened, but it seems like you would have to forget something about it. It shouldn't be a part of your everyday thinking and your everyday thought process. I think to forgive, you're not angry about it. You don't have emotions. You're not affected by it, and you're not dwelling in the thought, Of course, you learn things. Just like if you learn that if you touch the stove, it's hot, fire is hot. You learn those things, and you learn how to use it, and apply it, but it's not something that it has to be a part of your everyday thought process, the situation that happened. So to me, I think forgiving, I think you do have to forget some things about it, but I think also forgiveness is not being emotionally or mentally affected by the situation where you're mad or you're angry, and it's part of your everyday thought process. You're just living in the situation. You have moved on beyond it. You're not thinking about it. Yes, somebody may bring it up, and you're like, okay, you can have a discussion about it, but you're no longer mad or angry about it. But it's not that you condone it either.
Right, right. And let me just, before we go any further, just give a definition, just a basic definition of forgive. I just pulled this up out of the dictionary. So the basic definition, it is a verb. Number one, it says to grant pardon for or remission of an offense, debt, wrongdoing, etc., or to absolve. It also says to cease to feel resentment against, to cancel an indebtedness or liability of. And if we go to forgiving, forgave, forgiven, to pardon an offense or an offender. So, it's basically to pardon a person, basically remit the act that they did and don't hold them liable anymore for that particular offense. And I also think a major part of forgiveness is for the individual that's been done wrong. You know, it's for the person that's been done wrong to actually move on and move forward with their life and not, you know, not let the incident stop them from progressing and moving forward in their life. You know, so I think that's a major part of forgiveness. So as far as how the conversation started with the police shootings and how a lot of black families are pushed out in the forefront to forgive these officers, I don't necessarily agree with that, because I noticed that no other groups are pushed out like that in the way that black people are pushed out to forgive, you know, as quickly as that. And also when the other party is not remorseful, you see what I'm saying? So how do you forgive somebody that's done you wrong and they standing on it? You know what I'm saying? It would be different if they were remorseful and said, I'm sorry, you know, I did wrong, you know, and tried to clean it up and actually felt remorse. That's different than somebody just doing you wrong and saying, hey, I did it. That was the law. I wasn't wrong. I did what I had to do, and so on and so forth. You know what I'm saying? So how do you take it when the party that did you wrong is not even sorry or don't think they did nothing wrong? Do you still forgive them? You know, you see what I'm saying? So those are just some questions that that need to be asked. And I think a lot of this, unfortunately, is rooted in the way that black people have been programmed. All of our ideas and, you know, ideologies and the way we process things come from a European standpoint. And they programmed us to be forgiven, you know, by way of religion and other things, but they programmed us to forgive your master, you know, turn the other cheek, always take the high road. But meanwhile, they do something totally opposite of that. But they've instilled in us to just be all, just be so forgiving and loving and don't worry about anything and, you know, just move on and you'll get your reward in heaven type stuff, as opposed to, you know, taking things in order and processing and actually thinking about, well, should I forgive this person that done me wrong? And are they even remorseful for what they've done? You know, so I think we got to reevaluate a lot of the ideas that we have been given, like forgiving, because like I said, it's been given to us by way of religion. And I'm going to pose two questions and then I'm going to let my brother Mufasa get in. So when we talk about forgiving, according to these, you know, I'm going to just stick with a basic Christian doctrine. Did God forgive the devil? You know, that's just a question I'm throwing out there. Did God forgive the devil? Okay. Now, the other question is, when it's time for you to die and go to the pearly gates, is God going to forgive you for what you've done on earth? You see? Think about that. You know, if that's the doctrine you believe in, that's a question you need to ask. Is God going to forgive you for what you've done on earth? You know, you've done some wrong. You get to the pearly gates and you say, hey, you know, I'm ready to, I don't want to go to hell. I want to repent right now. Is it too late? See, according to the doctrine, it's too late. So does God forgive or does he not? Did God forgive the devil for the wrong he's done or what? You know, so we just have to examine these different type of concepts and ideas and how they become, you know, thoughts in our head and where do they come from. So, you know, I'm going to leave it at that for now and let, you know, let my brother Mufasa get in on it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'll tell y'all this. As far as forgiveness goes, on my walk, I was in the past. I'm the one that said it's things that cannot be forgiven for. Like my brother and sister said when we talked in the past, and we had these certain, you know, these conversations over this. I was on the side of it's something that I just can't forgive for. I can't forgive a person for. And when you talk about the police brutality thing or police murdering someone, and then these families come out and say, you know, I forgive them. No, you would never hear me say that. I'm not going to come out and forgive you off the bat like that. No, because in my opinion, and this, I mean, I may change on this down the road and on my walk, but in my opinion, in order for someone to be forgiven for something, there should be some repentance involved. And so,
that's right.
Repentance, that's the activity of reviewing a person's actions and, you know, feeling some type of regret for what they did wrong. And that's accompanied by commitment to changing for the better. So if you ain't repenting, then no, I can't forgive you. So when these families come out and say, I forgive someone, say it again.
Okay, so do you think it takes two people to forgive?
Two people to forgive?
Right, meaning, in other words, I'm saying, does forgiveness require the person that done something wrong and the victim to come together? So without those two, without, like, I couldn't forgive you if you're not sorry. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So that's what I was saying. If you come out and you've killed my loved one and you show no repentance for what you've done, then how can I come out and forgive you? I can't just come out and just forgive you before you even admitted that you've done wrong, that you're sorry, and just come on out and I'm just going to be like, I forgive you. But what I wanted to touch on, too, with that, I think a lot of this comes from, as you know, black people. You know, a lot of us are, you know, we Bible bound, we in religions, and we interpret things possibly the wrong way. So I was, you know, flipping through the Bible, and I come across something in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 22. I'm going to read it to y'all. It said, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times.
Yes.
Oh,
wow. I thought it was 70 times.
77 times.
So, oh, man.
Like I said, when people read this type of stuff, and these pastors, you know what I'm saying, tell people this stuff, some of these people don't go farther into their scriptures. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And some of these pastors are hitting these people with just forgive, 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 forgive. But like I said, if you keep on digging, I'm quite sure you'll find some repentance going on in here too. So how can we keep forgiving people for stuff if they're not repenting for the things they do? And that's why I'm at with it. So that's why I'm at with it. You know, at least show some form of repentance, and then maybe I can forgive you. But I just can't just jump out the car and be like, yeah, you just gunned my brother down, but I forgive you. My brother been dead for 2 hours. I forgive them for what they did. No, I can't. I can't do that.
Right.
Right.
Yes, sir. I'm definitely with you.
Let me ask you guys this. So, would you say that? Let me say the best way to put this. When you forgiving somebody? Because it seems like I wouldn't want to not be able to move in my walk and forgive somebody in my own personal walk. I don't want that to be dependent upon another person. I want to be able to do my thing. Because if another person, now they can be dead wrong, and whatever they've done, their attitude toward it, they may not realize that they're wrong, but I don't want that to stop me from being able to keep progressing. I don't want to stay there with them. Basically,
right, and that's why I would say that that's why a major part of forgiveness is forgiving yourself. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to repeat that. A major part of forgiveness is forgiving yourself so you can move on. Okay? So you have to forgive yourself for, you know, whatever, allowing yourself to be in that situation, allowing for that person to do you wrong or whatever, whatever. You have to forgive yourself. Yeah, forgive yourself, and that's the part of you moving on. Like, forget what they did. Just understand that they did you wrong. You know, it wasn't your fault, or maybe you did play a part in it, but they took it upon themselves to do you wrong in whatever situation. So you have to forgive yourself, and that right there should be enough for you to, you know, to move on. You see what I'm saying?
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Brother Kev. So in a situation like we said, or we talked about with Philando Castile, and that happened to him, and his girlfriend, are you saying that was in the car, she should forgive herself? What did she got to forgive herself for?
Well, she would forgive herself for being in that situation, not saying that it's her fault. But in order for her to move on, she has to, you know, look at the entire situation like, you know, this is the situation we were in. It's not our fault. It's not his fault. It's not my fault. And, you know, most people may do it naturally, but it may take a conscious effort for people to forgive themselves for certain situations at the end. So I'm not saying that she's done anything wrong or needs to repent, but, you know, she would just
maybe just acknowledge the situation or something.
Yeah, just acknowledge the situation and, you know, that she, you know, didn't have anything to do with Philando Castile getting killed. But I was just saying that in response to Roger Starr saying that, you know, that she wants to be able to move on and not hold or hold on to those negative feelings. So I was
right. I don't want my grief to be contingent upon another person. Like if
on
they don't ever
person,
repent,
right.
And if they don't ever repent, I don't want that to stop me. So that's why I wanted to know. Like that's why I asked the first question about this. So are you saying forgiveness takes?
So you don't want to have hate in your heart.
No,
I definitely don't want that.
I don't want that at all.
Because I was going to ask you, like, why is it so important to you that you move on from that? Because I'm looking at it like, if I'm in a situation like that, and that officer don't repent, then I don't mind having that hate in my heart. It almost kind of makes me feel good to know that I can look at you and I know that I dislike what you did. And I'm acknowledging to myself that I don't agree and I hate what you did. Instead of me saying, I forgive you. I can't, because if I say, for me saying I forgive you and I really don't and I'm still harboring on to that, it's like I'm lying to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's take a call again, Phoenix, and let's get some opinions here. Let's take caller.
Let's get a call.
Yeah, call 336-965. Caller, you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. And I think the person, you have to learn to forgive. I remember my grandson was killed in an accident, a car accident, a boy was driving. I forgave him, and I love the boy. I hold nothing against him. Now, if he don't forgive himself, that's on him. But I forgive him where I can sleep at night and have peace in my heart. And I told the young man, I'm really sorry what he did because it was my grandson, and I love my grandson. But it happened. Sometimes things do happen because of personal disobedience, because we had told Randy, stop hanging around with those boys. It's not good for me. He did it anyway. So I blame Randy as well as the boy, but I forgive them both. And now I feel more at peace because I'm able to sleep at night. I'm able to go about my business because I love him. And I will always love him regardless of what happened. I will always have love for the person I forgive him. I feel more at peace with myself.
Indeed. Now, let me ask you this, caller. Has the gentleman, is he resentful? Is he remorseful? Does he, you know, show sympathy? And did he say he was sorry and those type of things?
He never really said to me. I really didn't see him. I only saw him one time, and we went to court. And I've seen him in court. Now, he was in Trinity. I'm in North Carolina, so I don't get the chance to see him. He's out now, I think he is. I don't know for sure. But I never went to visit him because I didn't live in the state no more. I had moved out. So I don't really know, but I think my granddaughter, Takeda, said that he was remorseful of what he did. And he was very proud of what he did. But I really don't know because I didn't really talk to him. I hold nothing against him, why I didn't go see him. But I just didn't feel that I had to, you know. So, I don't know.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah, I mean, I agree. See, I think for me, and like I think Mufasa was saying, that makes a difference for me. If I'm going to forgive someone, they would, you know, have to admit their wrongdoing, feel sorry, feel remorseful, regretful. And
why?
We have to come to that understanding.
Why? 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 That's not going to make you feel any better. I mean, you're not going to love yourself anymore.
Well, it would
anymore.
Make me feel better. It,
no,
that
it's
would
not.
Make me feel
because
better.
You're gonna, no, it's not because you're going to still be thinking about it. Why didn't he say he was sorry? Why didn't he say so and so? Why he didn't do this? Why? It's still going to be on your mind, and you're not going to feel
really
any different.
Is he really true about saying he's sorry?
Yeah,
no,
if
I
he's
think
true
those
about
the things.
It,
right, but those are things I feel like I can gauge and see when someone's being remorseful. Now, unless they just a great actor, but I feel like I would be able to tell, you know, if they really are sorry for what they've done.
But
you know, and that would be...
I understand what you're saying.
And that's a good act.
And that's
a good, like we were saying earlier, like about being about repenting. I mean, Carla, do you believe in repenting for a sin?
I don't know. Well, you have to live your life. But just because you say, I'm sorry, I repent, it's not going to ease your pain. So
it ease mine.
So who cares? No, it won't. You think it's going to ease your pain because the person gets to say, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do it, I'm really, really sorry, and your pain going to be eased. No, your pain going to be still there. Because I know my pain is still there. My pain is still there. And I love the guy, and I would talk to him. I would treat him like my own grandson because he's young as my grandson. But I still feel a lot of, I still have pain.
Right, but this is the flip side of it. This is the flip side of it, Carla. What if this person was like, you know, forget your grandson.
Okay.
I don't care. I did it. I did this and that,
I
I'm standing on
him.
It.
That's him.
No, see,
I'm
that's...
Still
My see,
heart,
I don't.
I would still love it. My heart would be at peace. Seriously, I really believe that. My heart would be at peace. I don't care what he says, the way he does, the way he's doing. I still be at peace because I know in my heart, I forgave him. In my heart, I hold no grudges. In my heart, there's nothing. So I would treat him like a person who never did anything. I wouldn't just be all upset because I know I have to be at peace with myself.
Why I have to ask you that question. What is so important with being at peace with yourself and forgiving this person? Why is that so important to you?
So I can have peace with God because God said God is love. God loves. God loves everyone because of what you have did. He died for you.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. So that's what you got to do. And that's my life. That's what happens. Now, I don't care how much
it is,
looking,
what
I
it
still
is.
Love you. It is what it is.
Hey, all I'm going to say, they go back to that Matthew I read earlier, Brother Kev.
Right. For me, that's the thing I think we have to reexamine because we're talking about loving our enemies and loving people and forgiving people who have done wrong to us and who stand on their wrongdoing. So I think we have to reexamine that. I don't necessarily think that's healthy or I don't necessarily think that's progressive as far as us moving on because if someone is a direct and open enemy and they're standing on their wrongdoing, they're doing you wrong and they saying, I don't care how you feel, this is just what it is, I don't necessarily think we should love that person or forgive them. And I'm just looking at it from – you know,
it is what
from a standpoint
of. Not all the time. I think if your love is strong enough, if your love is strong enough, you can change that person's heart. If your love is really strong, you feel in your heart, you can change another person's heart because of how hard his heart is. You can change him. You show him really love and kindness. You can change him. I believe
so,
that. Carla, that's my belief. Go ahead.
Carla, I want to ask you a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so in the Bible, story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah.
Uh-huh.
Now, why didn't God forgive them? God didn't forgive them. God destroyed that town and killed them for their wickedness.
If you really look into the word, what it said, God is not destroyed. He'll let the devil do his own work. Devil destroy you, not God. Okay, you got to look at it on the other part. But a lot of times, things happen to people by being disobedient. Just like I was telling you with my grandson. He has been warned so many times, and he knew how that boy was, and he still went out and was with that boy. Disobedience. If you don't be disobedient, things don't happen to you. And being disobedient, they were disobedient in that city too, because they didn't do what the Lord told them to do. They did their own thing. And a lot of times you do your own thing, things happen. And that's what it says, curses and blessings.
Right. So why didn't God forgive them for being disobedient? You see, why didn't...
We don't know that he didn't forgive them. We don't know that. We don't know if they'll go to hell. We don't know if he forgave them or not. We don't know that.
He sent angels to destroy them and murder them. So how is that forgiving them?
But you got to look at the situation. Okay, people put themselves in different situations and things happen. And everything bad that happens is not God's doing. The devil is very destroyed. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he would destroy you. And then he came and said, look what God did to you. And we know that's not true. But just because things happen, the Lord give us wisdom. He don't control us. People say God's in control. God gave us the control and the dominion. So we have to take authority of what's going to happen to our life. If we go out there, just like you know that you're not supposed to run in the street, a car is coming, and you know if you go out in that street, you can get hit, but you're going to say, oh, God got my back. He's not going to let me get hit. I'm going to go out there and walk in front of that car. And you know what's going to happen. You're going to get hit because you disobeyed the laws of the land. So that's what they did. They disobeyed the laws of the land. Things happened. And you got to think about the situation.
Gotcha. Now, if you're just joining us, this is Collective Minds Radio, and we are discussing forgiveness. You know, should you forgive everything, or are there certain things that you should not forgive? Thank you, Carla. And we are discussing forgiveness. Give us a call, Collective Minds Radio. The number is 929-477-1697. So, yeah, is the caller still there? You still there, Carla? Okay,
yes,
she may have gone.
Yes,
but, yeah.
Yes,
okay, good. Yeah. I definitely understand your point. And like I was saying in my opening monologue or whatever, I think that, like I said, that comes from our religious training that we've been given. But like I keep saying that I think we may need to re-examine a lot of these mm-hmm. concepts and ideologies that we've been given and just sit back and, you know, just kind of think about it and see what actually, you know, is progressive or what actually makes sense instead of just going along with the narrative that we've been told since we've been born. We have to really examine that. Because I would ask, you know, Rigel Starr, let me ask you this, okay? I'm your brother. Somebody harms me. Somebody kills me. I wasn't doing anything. You know, it was out of spite. They killed me, and they standing on it. They saying, I don't care. I killed him. He did this and that, and it is what it is. Now, do you forgive that person knowing how they feel? Or do you find another way? I understand what you're saying about moving on for yourself. But mm-hmm. there's a way to do that, I believe, without actually forgiving that person, being like, okay, I forgive you, and, you know, you still cool, or I don't know how, whatever, you know, method it is. But you see what I'm saying? Do you forgive that person for killing your brother wrongfully and they standing on it?
Now, you know how I am about my brother. So
that's
right. It would be a really hard, challenging thing. However, what I'm saying is, I would want to get to a place where it's not disrupting my energy and my emotions, what this person had done. I would want to get to a place where, and I'm saying even without retaliation, I'm saying without retaliation, because I would want to retaliate, you know, I would want to retaliate. Now, if I can get to a place where I don't, where I feel like I don't have to retaliate, and if I see this person, I'm not trying to retaliate. It's not disrupting my energy. It's not disrupting my sleep and my life and things like that on the emotional, you know, on the emotional thing, you know. And I'm not saying this is going to happen the same day. I have to grow to that place. And that's all I'm saying, is that my goal will be to grow to that place. I don't know how long it would take. I don't know how I would do it. I don't know the methods in which I would do it. But I would want to, at some point, grow into that place in my life where my life and my energy and my emotions is not being disrupted. This is why, for me, because if he was to have done something to my brother or any loved one and taking him away from this world, I can't do nothing to bring him back. And that's what I would want, ultimately. Forget the person. Ultimately, I'm hurting because my brother is not here. And that's what I would want. He can't fix that. Even if he was truly sorry, he can't fix those things. So that's why
he can't fix it, but he can. He can't fix it, but he can.
I don't care what he do. I don't care what he do, what he say. He can't bring my brother back if he was to do something that hurtful. He can't bring my brother back. I don't care what he say.
So basically he could do whatever he wants to do, as far as, I mean, just keep killing people. And just on the strength that he can't bring them back, you just going to forgive him. Because ain't no need of him stopping. Yeah. Ain't no need of him stopping doing it. Because, I mean, it don't matter to you either way it go.
You can't bring him back.
It doesn't
sound like you're asking me a question. It sounds like you concluded to something. And if you have, you're wrong, because I said way more to that. I gave a broader picture than just this. I'm not saying, oh, yeah, I can bring him back. I forgive him because of that. No, I said much more to it than that. And what I said
which
is,
I know you did.
Okay, it just didn't sound like this. But I just want to be clear that I'm not saying that I'm condoning any type of bad behavior at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that if just because I can't bring a person back, that means forgive them. Just because of that. I'm saying I don't want to live in that horrible place. Because if I'm here, me living in it is not going to change nothing. Me living in that dark place of sadness and anger and mad is not going to change anything. Even if I went out and shot the guy,
So let me ask you this. I got to ask this question. So if you were able to kill that person, would you do it? If you were able to kill that person legally, say, look, you took my family member life, now I have the okay to take your life, would you do it? And if you did, do you think it would make you, you know, feel any better?
Well, I don't know if I would or wouldn't. If it depends. If I want to react right off of what he did, I'm gonna probably kill him. I'm gonna probably kill myself, whether it's legal or illegal. But what I was saying is that I will try to get to a place where it's not hindering my growth my spiritual growth and my emotional growth. I'm saying I would try to get to that place. I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm not saying it's going to happen the same day. I'm not saying that I won't retaliate. I'm not saying that I won't want to retaliate. More than likely, I'm human. More than likely, I'm going to retaliate. It ain't about legal or illegal to me at that point. It's about just if things was to happen, they get them, you know, get lock the guy up before I can get a hold of him or before I can come to a place in my mind where I'm saying, okay, you know what? I'm not going to do anything to this guy. I may not kill him. Or if I get to that, and I don't know if I will get to it or not, but my point is that I don't think nothing is wrong with forgiving a person that has done it, if, especially if it's going to get you to be able to move on and still grow as an individual and not be stunned. Because sometimes people they just get stuck in that. They just get stuck in one day. And when you stuck in one day, you're not no longer right. You're not no longer living. But I don't know. That's just the best way I can answer it, Mufasa. I'm not saying that I won't want to retaliate against somebody. Of course not. Come on now. That's not no. That's not realistic. That's not realistic.
Well, I want the head on a stick. I want the head on a stick, and when I see it on a stick, I feel better. I'm gonna just be flat out and tell you like that. You take the life of mine. You take the life of mine, and you ain't gonna repent none of that. I want your life, and then when your life is gone, then I'll feel better. And that puts me in a great. That puts me in a good place. I will be in such a great place. I mean, I'll be tiptoeing in the tulips, doing cartwheel.
Right. This is the question. This is why I think we're running into some gaps. Because I hear what Roger Starr is saying and what the caller said as well. But just to put this question out there, do you think that you can move on and be, you know, move on and progress with your life without forgiving someone who's not remorseful or wants to repent for what they did to you? Do you think that's possible that you can move on without actually forgiving that person?
For me?
For you and Roger,
I can. I can because, you know, I can put something on the shelf. I can go on with some other things, and I can put that on the back burner. And if something ever plays itself out that I can handle that at a later time, I can take it right back off the shelf. So I can move on without forgiving them. No, I don't have to forgive you to move on with my life. You know what I'm saying? I can do other things. My life is so – I have so many dimensions to my life. You know, I can do other things. I ain't got to focus on you 24/7. I got other stuff I can think about and put you on the shelf. So forgiving you, for me.
Now, you may disagree. I don't know. But it's – to me, that's a form of it. To me, that's a form of forgiveness. I'm not saying it's a 100%. It's all across the spectrum. But the fact that you can still move on with your day-to-day and do things and not, if I'm understanding correctly, not worry about a trip off the individual, then to me that's a form of forgiveness. It's a form of it to me. And I think that's what helps you to move on. If you see this person, if the person is in your presence again, you're gonna go after them. It's gonna like re-trigger that day, and it's gonna make you go after them and attack them. Is that what you're saying? Or can you still be around this person and still function?
Be around? I'm saying it's still on the shelf of handling business with you. I'm not going to forgive that. No, I'm not forgiving it.
So
you have to be dealt with. Your wrong
right.
has to be righted. We got any more
has
comments?
Has to be dealt with.
Gotcha. Okay, let's we're going to get in. Let's take another call.
Let's take a call.
Okay, let's call area code 314-448. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I called it the perfect time. I just heard what y'all said. real quick, just about just exactly what the last thing y'all said, like, who would be the judge and the jury on deciding how someone should be dealt with when they do a wrong to a person? Like, what would make you think, what makes you or gives you the right to carry out the execution and handling that? And that's my first question.
Uh-oh, Mufa.
Well, I would say, let me hop in. I would just say it would be up to the individual who was done wrong as the person who would, you know, if they're able to seek justice or some type of retribution for the act, is up to the person who has been done wrong.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
so
leads, that
would
lead,
be my answer.
That would lead me to my next question. If we applied that logic and every time someone was done wrong, we applied that logic, then you would run into some problems, you know, from a logical standpoint, because then that would mean the very first person who ever did someone wrong, that person, you know, you see what I'm trying to say here, like in terms of.
I see
being,
what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on the other hand.
Yeah.
I was just going to say real quick, on the other hand, it's still going to cause a problem, because you run across the person who just don't want to forgive and be nonchalant about it. Somebody might be the first person who's done wrong might say, I can forgive you. Without nothing being done. The second person might be like, oh, hell no.
And,
I ain't letting that ride.
And, okay, but that's one thing. That's one problem you run into. The second problem you will run into is that what if we all never forgave anybody for anything? You know what I'm saying? If no one ever forgave anybody, we wouldn't last very long.
Well, again, that goes back to what I had said earlier. Every situation is different. And for me, it depends on if that person, like I said, is willing to repent and they're remorseful and they can express that some way. And I can, you know, reciprocate, you know, not reciprocate, but if they can express that to me and I can feel that it's sincere, then that's enough for me to forgive that particular person. But without that, I'm not forgiven.
And this is the problem that would bring up if you're gonna do it case by case. With unforgiveness, yeah, you gotta kind you gotta look at too many things when it comes to unforgiveness. If we just looked at forgiveness across the board, if you said everybody just forgave every time, every situation, that would be a lot more optimal, as opposed to saying that if everybody, either saying A, nobody forgave, or B, well, we got to take it case by case, because then it would be way too many cases that you would still lead to more problems, because in the world today we basically take it case by case. Some people choose to forgive here, they choose not to forgive there. But if everybody forgave across the board, it would be a lot more optimal for people. You know what I'm saying? If you decide to forgive everybody, if everybody decides to forgive people for wrongdoings, you progress and you get a lot further, if that makes sense.
Right. Now, look, I hear what you're saying, and that's very idealistic view. But let's look at the real world. Let's look at this particular country that we live in today, the United States of America. How does America look at forgiveness? Let's look at 9/11, Pearl Harbor. You see what I'm saying? How does the United States, this country that we live in and, you know, quote-unquote love so much, how do they handle their enemies and forgiveness? They don't.
I got 2 points to that. The first point is that's what I'm saying. Like, we live in that world where you're saying, Case, we already live in that world. And we see the results. So that's why I agree with you on that. Like, if you're gonna take it case by case, you're seeing real time example of what we do, of what the world would look like if we take it case by case, because that's what we do anyway. We do that now and it's still messed up. Point number two is I would argue that America is in a position, or any country or anybody that's in position to protect someone, you aren't necessarily not forgiving someone if you're in a position to protect someone and you have to protect people, and your job of protecting people requires for you to go handle business in that way. I don't think that's not an unforgiving thing. Like, you can't just let people attack your family, for example, and not do anything about it. You're not being unforgiving. You're just protecting your family. That's kind of a different. It's a difference in the
I don't know. Is that different? Is that different? Because you're seeking justice. You're seeking retribution. When America was attacked on 9/11, they went and attacked the people that supposedly did it. So that was seeking justice. That was getting retribution for the wrong that they thought was done to them.
Well, that I would have to argue that we.
So forgiving would be just not doing anything.
That's not what forgiving would be. What you essentially saying on a smaller level is like, say if somebody came to your house and was trying to attack your family, forgiving them doesn't mean you just let them kill your family because I'm going to forgive you. That's not the same thing. Like you protect your family. And once the situation is dealt with, then you can come back, reconcile, and say, okay, they were trying to harm my family. They deserve whatever punishment they get, but I can forgive them. I can move on from the situation. It's kind of like that's not what forgiveness is. You know what I'm saying? Or seeking.
Well,
wanting justice doesn't negate forgiveness. You want justice. Yeah, we all, of course, we want justice, but that doesn't mean that you can't forgive somebody because you want justice. You know what I'm saying?
So let me ask you this, Carl. I'll kind of, because we might have to take another call real quick, but say, for instance, okay, you got kids, right? And
correct.
A person come in your house, home invade you, kill your kids, take your stuff, they leave you living.
Yeah.
Can you will be able to forgive that person for doing that? Or what would it take for you to forgive that person?
Okay, let me first answer from an emotional standpoint. I'm not saying it is easy at all to forgive someone for killing your family. I'm not saying that that would even happen in most cases. But ideally, From a logical standpoint, taking my emotions out of it, because the only thing holding on to something it builds resentment. And like I'm sure you've seen you've seen little pictures or you've seen scenes where holding on only hurts you. And when you break it down, holding on to something really does only hurt you. That person does not receive anything from it. Nothing happens to them. The only thing it does to you is make you feel bad. You harbor resentment. You get stressed. It does way more to you, harm to you, to hold on to something that someone done as to simply say it happened. It's in the past. I cannot change that. I can't change that they killed my family. I can't do anything about that. I want retribution. I want justice for this, and I believe that it will happen in some way, shape, or form. But I know I can't do anything about it because even if I killed that person, that wouldn't bring my family back. There's nothing that I can do about it. So the best thing for me to do is to continue to move forward with my life. Let that person go out of my heart. Forgive them. That doesn't mean I have to necessarily do dealings with them. That doesn't necessarily mean any of that initially. All that means is that I'm letting that situation go. It's in the past. I'm putting it behind me because holding on to it is only going to hurt me.
Right, and that could apply to America the way they dealt with 9/11. That could apply. The incident happened. It was tragic. America could have been like, we forgive. It was a tragic event, and we're going to move on and do our thing as a country. But they did not do that.
This is what I was going to say. I forgot. Also, America was under the impression that these people would continue to strike. Now, whether you agree with that or not, that's something totally different. But if someone does that, they're under the intention that they're going to continue to keep doing this, so I have to protect myself. So America was acting, once again, like I said, under a protection thing. It wasn't an unforgiveness mindset. It was we need to protect ourselves from this going any further. Like I said, forgiveness doesn't just mean you let someone do something to you and just let it happen. That's not what forgiveness means. Forgiveness means when things happen, you let it go. You know what I'm saying? You willing to let that let that person go free. You willing to let that person or whatever the situation is, you're willing to let it go and forgive and forget, because part of forgiveness is forgetting as well. But yeah, that, like, I think it's a little bit of a different situation when you're trying to protect yourself versus meaning you forgiving. Like, they were, America wanted a pretense that they would come back and they would continue to do these things if we didn't protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm. All right, on, caller. We got to get to another call. Appreciate you calling in, brother.
Indeed. Get to another call. Before we get to that call, let me just let the family know this is Collected Minds Radio, and we are discussing forgiveness. Give us a call. We got about 35 minutes left to the live stream. The number is 929-477-1697. Give us a call, fam.
Okay, let's take caller 314-372. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
I was just listening to the show, trying to see what the topic was. Mm-hmm. Once again, it's Riveting Radio, brought to you by Collective Minds.
That's right. That's
all right. Right on, brother. Stand by. We'll get back with you.
Stand by. Yeah. So, again, let me say this again.
It is what it is.
A lot of these concepts and ideas come from a lot of religious dogma and from a European mindset. And I think it's imperative that we as black people examine these things that have been taught to us since we were young or born, that we need to reexamine and actually sit down, think about it, contemplate, have these type of conversations so we can move forward. Because I think a lot of things are keeping us stagnant, based on, like I said, these ideas that have been put in our head. And it's so funny that religious people and black people, in general, the majority of us are on the forgiven type of wave. And I think it speaks volumes to the position that we're in, because we're not using some of the things that they say we should use, for instance, like anger. Sometimes anger is good, because anger gets stuff done. When you're mad, you're angry, you want to do something about it. You see what I'm saying? I know that people say you can harp on it, but there's a different way to use it. You don't have to let it hinder you, but you can use anger as a positive. You see what I'm saying? You can use it to move forward and get yourself up out of certain situations. But if you want to with this love everybody, forgive everybody, and all this type of things, that speaks volumes. I know it sounds like the high road and it's the moralistic thing to do.
Right.
However, where does that, where do you draw the line at? Like, how many times do you let somebody smack you in the face and you keep saying you forgive them?
77.
Like, how long?
77 times.
77 times? You see what I'm saying? So we have to really examine these things. And like I said, re-examine and figure out different concepts and ideas by having these type of conversations. So, again, this is Collected Minds Radio. Give us a call. Let us know. Are you the forgiving type? Are there any things that you will not forgive? Can you move on in your life and progress without forgiving someone? We just want to, have these type of conversations so we can see, where the family is at as a collective.
Call, you have a comment to say about that? What was it? Hello? I was asking if you had a comment about what Brother Kev just said.
No, because Brother Kevin said a whole bunch of stuff. Some things I agree with him, and some things I disagree with him. But it would go into a lot of detail, so I'm okay.
Indeed. We appreciate it. but I do want to ask this question, too. And maybe if we got a call on, could answer this question, I'm going to just throw it out there. Did God forgive Adam and Eve, or did he just kick them out of paradise? Did he forgive them, mm-hmm. or did he just say, no, I'm done, y'all need to go your own way?
Let's take caller 314-616. Caller, you have a question or comment to what Brother Kev just said?
Hey, I'm sorry, I've been kind of in and out. What's the topic for today?
The topic today is forgiveness, and where do you draw the line with forgiveness? Should we forgive everything that someone has done to us that was wrong, or is there a method, or how should we, as individuals and as a collective body of people, how should we approach forgiveness?
Beautiful question. I think that forgiveness is an individual type of thing. Collectively, as Black people and knowing the people across the world, I think we need to learn how to better love and pretty much apply the same forgiveness we've had for white people to ourselves. And that would be a way for us to better heal as a collective. And I think that because a lot of us are so engulfed in religion and certain beliefs, because it's recorded in the book that you have to do, you know, this in order to obtain your liberation, your freedom, or your salvation, so to speak.
Facts.
I think that has been embedded into your consciousness. Now, me personally, you know, I think that forgiveness being an individual thing, I don't want to have something that's weighing so much on my mind that's beginning to stress me out and make me sick. Now, I can stop dealing with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, you know, take for instance, what's the guy named that killed Mike Brown? Darren Wilson. I do not forgive him. And, you know, if I had the opportunity to kill him myself, I would do it. I don't forgive him at all. Now, do I go around thinking about this man 24/7? No. So when it comes to forgiveness, I think that we need to free ourselves of anything that's going to be draining our energy or causing unnecessary stress on us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when it comes to forgiveness also, we draw the line with the whole life and death thing. And I think that if we had a better understanding of death from a metaphysical standpoint, then we wouldn't be so, you know, caught up in it, because standing as I'm looking at some metaphysical things, that death is not the final destination. What we're seeing on this plane, on this field, is one thing, and we think that, you know, because I see Brother Chavin or Brother Mufasa, you know, we think that you know, this is, we're waking up every day in the same world. We're actually on different planes and different spaces. You've actually already died. People are talking about you dying. It's almost like Groundhog Day, if you ever seen that movie. But
right.
I don't want to go too deep into the metaphysical world, but I just want to say I think that forgiveness shouldn't be just limited to a life or death situation, because there are people that have, you know, possibly hurt you or done things, or maybe somebody molested your son or your daughter, and so that thing could be something eternal too. But when it comes to forgiveness, I say collectively, we need to learn how to better deal with our problems, you know, apply the same forgiveness you have for white people towards your own people.
Well said.
I think that too often, you know, when they do something to us, it can be forgiven through, you know, cutting a check or doing this or doing that. But when your brother does something to you, you know, the unforgiveness is eternal.
Right.
I don't understand.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's well said, because we are quick to forgive others outside of our group, meaning Black people. And then when a Black person does us wrong, if a Black restaurant does us wrong, I ain't going to that restaurant, I ain't doing that, they terrible, the service is bad, all this and that. But then you go to a white restaurant, they may do you wrong, and you right back the next week. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's one we're going to touch on that. We're going to do a show on that, too. We're going to do a show on that, too. I got some deep ideas on that.
Yeah, so, the caller made some good points, and Cosmic Care was over here smiling when you went into metaphysics. Well, I was like, yeah, that's right on. Because like I said, it is probably be the third or fourth time I'm going to say this, these ideas, especially with forgiveness, are rooted in this religious fundamentalism and dogma that we've been taught in the black community since slavery, and we think we're taking the high road by being forgiving and loving all and doing these things, but really that's not reality, and it's kind of hindering us in a way for progress and moving forward, in my opinion, you know. So I think, like I say, we have to reexamine these ideas that we've been given and look at them, because the Bible also says an eye for an eye in the Old Testament. You know, so what it was, you know, an eye for an eye, that's saying you want retribution. You want some type of, you know, some type of justice, some type of reconciliation for the wrong that's been done. So, yeah, we just got to look at these concepts and really figure it out. So if you're just joining us, family, this Collective Minds Radio, we are talking about forgiveness. You know, as individuals and as a collective, how should we approach forgiveness, forgiving people, forgiving ourselves? I think that's the most important thing, really, is forgiving yourself. Forgiving your family is another thing I would say is important. You know, forgiving your parents and, you know, really coming to grips with the situation and the world that we've all been born into. And understand that a lot of things, you know, have been programmed and put into our minds, even our parents, and they're just doing, you know, for the most part, they're just doing the best with the information and things that they've had at the time to raise us and to move us forward. So, you know, a lot of that comes with forgiving ourselves, forgiving our families. But also, again, if someone does you wrong, and they are not resentful or want to repent, I don't feel like there's a need to necessarily forgive them. Like the caller said, and like, you know, Love Lachey said, Rigel Starr said, you don't want to hold on to those things and have it hinder you to where you can't function on a day-to-day because you're constantly thinking about what this person did. I think there's a way that you can move on, go about your life, and not forgive them for what they've done to you. I think that's very possible. You know,
let's,
you don't have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, let's keep it pushing, y'all.
It seems like now I want to ask this question. Do now because I feel like if you are planning on some sort of retaliation towards somebody, so I don't know if I would consider that as forgiveness. If you are still trying to think out ways to retaliate or get back at this person or to make them hurt like they made you hurt or just to get back at them in any form or fashion, I don't know if I would consider that forgiveness. Forgiveness is a process, and I think we can be within the realm of forgiveness as part of a process, but I don't think it's just one thing that makes you forgive, you know, and forgiveness. I think it's a process. It's a state you have to go. You know, I think it's a multiple of things that you have to do. It's a process. And I think if a person has come to a place in their life where, like Mufasa said, and I think some of the other callers had mentioned already, that they can still, you know, live and function and things like that, I think that is a part of the process of forgiveness. But it's still some other things that probably need to be done. Now, if you still, like Mufasa says, he's still going to work every day and, yeah, paying his bills, that's functioning. But in his downtime or periodically throughout his day or week or something, you know, he's still trying to figure out a way to get back at a person. Would you guys still consider that forgiveness? It doesn't seem like that's forgiveness to me. What do you guys think about that? Is that forgiveness?
I'll let Mufasa go.
I was going to say that I was going to wait and answer it later because I didn't want to miss no calls.
Yeah, let's get a call in. This is Collective Minds. If we got somebody waiting to share their views, give us a call, 929-477-1697. Roger, we got any callers holding?
See if we have a
the calls may want to say something. I know we went to 314, caller 372. Caller, you have a question or comment?
Yes. I've been listening to the show, and I think some very good points have been made, but I would be remiss if I didn't make a few points that I think have been overlooked. I think, first of all, we must clearly define what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is more or less a spiritual interaction. It's something that you are relating to with your spirit. I've heard many concepts talked about during this show, and I think sometimes we have a tendency to get off track, and we can confuse other things with our main agenda. If the main agenda is forgiveness, I've heard conversations about alternate universe, metaphysics, Christianity, and all of these things can play a part in forgiveness, you know, in your personal journey. But at its core, forgiveness is a personal, spiritual thing. Now, as one of your panelists has said, that forgiveness can take stages, you know. You know, you said, what would you do if you caught somebody breaking in your house and they killed your family and, you know, they, you know, did some unspeakable things to you? Well, depending on, my answer would vary depending on what stage of forgiveness you caught me in, or lack thereof. Given time, I may react differently than I would if the wound was fresh. So I don't think anybody can actually say what they would do in any given situation because of, you know, of human nature. You don't know until you're actually in that situation. But some things, as far as like 9/11 and, you know, some things are more or less, I can forgive you. I can forgive you for something and still take your life while I'm standing there forgiving you. Because I'm forgiving you for what you've done. Now, I'm forgiving you for what you've done, but I'm not going to – that has nothing to do with my action after that. If you are perceived as a threat to me, and that's whether you are a threat today or tomorrow, I can forgive you. But on a logical and on a physical level, me forgiving you has nothing to do with me protecting myself or my family. So – forgiving you, yeah. Will I allow you to continue to be a threat to me and my family? No. That has nothing to do with forgiveness. That's protecting one's interests. And that goes whether it's an individual, whether it's a community, or whether it's a country. Protecting your interest and forgiving somebody for doing something that they did to you are two separate things. Somebody can forgive you and still carry out an agenda against you. They've forgiven you in their heart. They forgive you for your actions. But on the physical on the physical side, they must protect themselves so you still get ready to get it.
Because just because you forgive, that don't mean it ain't a punishment that still got to come down.
There you go. You can go back to your childhood, depending on how you were raised, and say, okay, yeah, my mother or father forgave me for something I did, but I'm still going to get this ass beat. So, you know, the two may not be mutually compatible. Just because somebody forgave you does not mean you may not feel the wrath of that person's punishment, or it might not even come from that person. Nature and the universe has a way of balancing things out as well. So that punishment or that balance may not even come from that individual. And some people find recourse in that. They say, you know, well, I didn't get you, but, you know, karma is a bitch. Payback, you know.
Right.
The universe,
well, look,
the universe will balance it out.
Yeah, we went over the definition of forgiveness. So I think, because it's like when you forgive, you're resolving that person of that act. So therefore, if you forgive, there's no need to actually bring down the iron fist or get back or payback or whatever if you're actually forgiving that person or forgiving
that event.
That's if you
believe that your forgiveness is a spiritual thing. Now, when you go into taking out an act against that person, that's no longer forgiveness. That's something else. Because,
right,
as I said, forgiveness itself is not a physical thing. It is a spiritual concept.
It's right.
And
exactly.
so many of our beliefs about forgiveness are rooted in Judeo-Christian upbringing. It's been instilled in certain individuals in our society because it was used as a means of control. So you linked forgiveness with control and lack of action. And actually the two things don't have anything to do with each other. They're separate.
Fact.
They're separate. But because of someone's interest in using this thing to control a mass number of people, they tie the two together.
Yes.
So therefore, that's why it's so easy for us to be angered against our brother or neighbor who may look just like us, but we're more apt to take out that forgiveness against somebody who doesn't look like us, somebody who may have less in common with us than our family member or our friend or our cousin or just somebody of our own race. The self-hatred is built in. It's not something new. It's something that has been cultivated over centuries. And it's very effective.
Right.
As you can look at, turn on your news and see just how effective it is. But I think once we start to take some of the concepts that surround forgiveness, as like empathy and consideration, once you use you start to apply those things to all people, and not just people that you know of your choosing. True forgiveness has nothing to do with whether I know you or not, or what your background is, or whether we cool or not. True forgiveness is something that I have to deal with in my spirit, and true forgiveness is therapeutic for both parties. Because it's more damaging for you to carry around an issue unforgiven, because internally it's killing you. The other person is going on with their life. They may be going on with their day, and it not even be an issue for them. But for yourself, it's killing you on the inside. So true forgiveness becomes therapeutic for the person who has the issue in the first place.
Right.
You know, I don't like you. I may not sit out and eat dinner with you, but I can forgive you because I'm not going to allow it to eat me up inside while you going on with your life and not knowing nothing about how I'm feeling.
Right.
Right on, Kyle.
You brought up some great points. I think, you know, just to echo what he said, forgiveness is a spiritual matter. I would also add mental, because it is a personal thing for the individual who has been done wrong. That's something for them to deal with and to move on and to not let those negative feelings take a hold of them. But I also think that you can do that without necessarily forgiving the person. That's my thing. I think the concept of forgiveness is very vague, and even though we dig over the definition, but I think you can do all those things without necessarily forgiving that particular person, especially when they're not remorseful, resentful, or willing to repent for their deeds. So if we got any other callers, again, it's Collective Minds Radio. We got about 10 minutes left to the live stream. Give us a call, last 10 minutes, 929-477-1697. Do we got any other callers? Can we try to get a couple more in real quick?
I was just going to add on to that, like the caller said, it is a spiritual thing. That's why, you know, I believe it's a process, you know. There's different stages to experience full forgiveness. Because I think in the fullness of forgiveness, there's no need to retaliate. There's no need to do anything toward that person. because ultimately the process of life is going to do it anyway, you know. And I think to be in the full forgiveness, you don't, you won't even, it wouldn't be a matter to you, you know. True enough,
right.
Yeah, you may even still show some, you know, some things that based on the consequences of what that person done to you, whether it's an actual death or murder that you experienced, or if they cut your arm off, you know, you may have to live the rest of your life without an arm, you know what I'm saying? So you can always be reminded of the situation, but I think to be in full forgiveness, so many things take place in your process that you may not even look at your missing arm as what happened. You may see something else, you know. So I just think forgiveness in this,
that's what I'm
pointing to.
Yeah, and it's, I agree. No, I was going to agree with you. I was going to just want to echo and scream that again, because my understanding is full forgiveness does not require retaliation.
Right.
That's why I'm hesitant on forgiving someone, you know, that has done wrong for me and not remorseful, because I would want to retaliate and seek some type of justice for myself. So full forgiveness does not require retaliation, from my understanding. That's why I brought up the thing about 9/11 in the United States, because I don't think they forgave, quote-unquote, Al-Qaeda, even though you can go into conspiracies about who did it and all that. But let's just say Al-Qaeda did it. They never forgave Al-Qaeda because they went after them. Al-Qaeda claimed responsibility, quote-unquote, and they never showed any remorse. So they felt like, since you're not showing remorse and you claim responsibility, we're going to attack you. But full forgiveness, had they forgiven them, they would not have retaliated. You know, but they felt like, well, they're not remorseful and they may attack again. So therefore, we have to attack before they attack us again, was the, you know, quote-unquote logic that they were using, even though we know it's a lot of stuff with that, but that's the basic concept. So they never forgave, because true forgiveness, like Roger Starr said, doesn't require retaliation. You're resolving that person of their deed or their act that they've done. You're saying that, you know, they're dissolved of that, you see. So
right, for me, I think, and a better way for me to put it is that I'm no longer affected by the results of the actions of that person. Just as, like, say, for instance, I guess that's the best way I would say it. You know, I'm no longer living in that day and that experience.
A tough experience, absolutely.
And I'm no longer living in that day and living with an experience, because I wouldn't want to. It would be too, depending on what the situation is. And we've been speaking a lot about that. So I guess if I was to continue on that, if it was something where somebody was murdered or something like that, I wouldn't want to keep reliving that. And Devil's Advocate, my favorite, one of my favorite movies, The Color Purple, and one of the favorite quotes, you can bash Mrs. Head, you can think about heaven later. So you can always do what you got to do and forgive them later if you just really wanted to. Do your thing,
right.
And then I'll forgive them later.
Yeah, the situations are different. Like, say if it's truly, like, just say if it's a car accident and you lose a loved one. I'm willing, because I can, you know, think logically and rationally, I can forgive that person. Okay, you were driving, it was an accident. Things happen, you know, even if it happened to me, and I would be willing, that's a situation to where I can, you know, it would be easier for me to forgive that particular person. Now, if it's someone committing a crime or doing something ignorant and they happen to hurt one of my loved ones, then it's hard for me to forgive that person. You see what I'm saying? It's just, and I don't think that would hinder me from moving forward, going on with my life,
But it would just be hard for me to forgive that person, especially if they're standing on it and they're not remorseful.
Yeah, but forgiveness
That's
is
where
not
I'm
easy.
At. I'm, I agree.
But forgiveness is not easy regardless of if they resentful or remorseful or not. Forgiveness is not all the time easy. Forgiveness
can be
a very, very challenging thing and a very, to accomplish. You know, it's some people, it's hard to accomplish true, to extend 100% pure forgiveness. That can be a very, very challenging thing. Like I said before, it's a process. So you can still be within forgiveness, but not experience the full 100% experience of it. But it's a very challenging process. And it doesn't mean that just because you forgave someone that you agree with what they did, or you accept them, you like, oh no, it was okay, and you try to make excuses and those types of things.
Right.
For me, forgiveness is just nothing more than, like I said, not being constantly reminded of what happened and moved on to a place where I don't want to retaliate. I don't want to go and get you, to move on beyond that. You know.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's difficult.
Yes, it
would be difficult for me.
That's why I always say.
I mean, you know, this is collective minds, and you know what Sister Riser can forgive someone for, what Brother Kev can forgive someone for, what I can forgive. It's all gonna be different. So we all got our little levels and stages of what we can forgive for. That's why I say for me, you know, repentance to me, it does play a big part, you know
for
what I'm saying?
Too.
Because definitely if you don't show any signs of repentance for me personally, and no, I'm not going to forgive you. No way.
No.
I'm not. I can't do it.
But I don't think that's unusual. I don't think that's unusual. I don't think that that's, I don't think that it's not common to feel that way, what you just said, and it's not unusual. I think most people will feel that same way. And I'm not saying that I would not feel the same way that you feel. What I'm saying is that if I was to just really step outside of it and answer this truthfully and honestly, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to get to that type of place where I'm no longer,
right.
to me, that's true forgiveness. I'm not saying that I won't be
right.
like you. But what we do differ is that I'm not saying that I would try to stay that way either. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm saying I probably feel the same way, but I would also, in my consciousness, would try to move beyond it where I'm no longer even trying to get at you like that. You know, I'm not trying to, because I don't want it to be in my spirit that way. Let's see if we have time for one more caller. Before we
end, we got one more. We got
we got
2 minutes. Yeah, we got to make it quick. We got to make it quick.
Paul, did you have something to say? You have a comment?
Yes, I do. Can you
hear me? Indeed. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah,
you got to make it quick. We got about a minute.
Yeah,
you got to
check
the car down.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to say, you know, we as a society, we have always struggled with the forgiveness of the white man for slavery. That's a different kind of forgiveness, because that's an ongoing thing. It's taking different formations and different, but it's still ongoing. It's still something that's still going on.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought I heard somebody else talking in the background. So.
No, it's the music going. We were wrapping it up.
We appreciate you calling in, Carla. I appreciate that. Yes, I feel like forgiveness. It's a great thing. I'm seeing you. I think you helped me. It's not me.
All right. Collective Minds Radio. Check us out next week, y'all. Again, very good conversation. Very good build. Hit us up next week. And go chop it up some more. We appreciate the call. Appreciate the support. And we love y'all. Peace. Signing off right now.
I'm just collecting with his mom. Gotta watch for these snakes. They trying to bite me from behind. Smile up in my face, I think these niggas think I'm blind. I don't fuck with people who ain't got time to read their mind. Ain't worried about shit, my family, money, and my grind. If it ain't about the three, then please don't even waste my time. Keep the clip loaded, cock it back and let them fly. I just stay humble, moving to the beat. I just stay humble, know I'm gonna eat. I just stay humble, why just stay? I just stay hump. Why just stay? I just stay hump. Get into the cash. Gotta stay hump. Long as gon' last. I just stay.